I spoke this morning in Marion, Indiana at Indiana Wesleyan University, and they gave me the topic, Hard Choices in the Jungle, because they're talking about choices in their chapel services. So I'm going to just do some of what I did this morning. First with a story, which I probably shouldn't tell because it shows the real me. When we were first taken hostage, I would spend hours thinking of all the people whose fault this was. Certainly it was the Abu Sayyaf's fault. And if the resort weren't so lame and had had good security, this never would have happened. If the Philippine government weren't so corrupt, this terrorist problem never would have gotten out of hand. If only the American government weren't so hard-headed, maybe they would do something. And I used to lay awake at night and plan the awful speeches that I was going to make once I got out of there. And then I started thinking, you know what? This is God's fault. He didn't say oops when Martin and I were taken hostage. He could have prevented this. And blaming God started me into this downward spiral into a place of depression and darkness. Because I knew this. God doesn't have any faults. He's almighty, the maker of everything, perfect in all his ways, amazing in power, astounding in mercy, abounding in mercy, the Bible says. I'm God's responsibility, and he does all things well. So I had some things to work in my heart to work through. At the beginning of our hostage days, I thought I was the good guy and the Abu Sayyaf were the bad guys at the beginning. But as the days drug on, as we got hungrier and dirtier, as we suffered from lack of sleep because we couldn't get comfortable sleeping on the jungle floor, when we got dysentery and diarrhea, when there was no place to take a bath, no clean clothes to change into, and I started feeling more like an animal than a human being, the real me began to surface. What was in my heart came out, and it was shocking. One day I was really mad at Musab. Musab was the quote-unquote spiritual leader of the group, and I didn't like him. This particular day, Musab had given us his extra rice to carry because he was lazy and he didn't want to do it. And as we hiked up and down mountains, my anger grew and grew. And at one stop, I told Martin, Musab's going to burn in hell one day, and I hope I'm there to see it. Martin looked at me with this shocked look on his face, like some of you have right now. He said, Gracia, that's exactly what's going to happen to Musab if he doesn't accept Christ's sacrifice for his sin. But can you imagine witnessing the wrath of God poured out on a person? Even thinking that should make you pray for Musab, not hate him. Well, Martin, he always knew what to say. That guy, I didn't know what sort of man I was married to. I knew he was a neat Christian, but I never understood before our captivity his Christ-likeness, his thinking through things in a godly way. And I just appreciate that about him. And he pointed my sin out to me that day. And when I got a good look at myself and saw the awfulness of what was happening to me, I cried out, God, I don't want to be this way, but I hate that guy. I want to be characterized by love and joy and peace, not hate and depression and being hard to get along with. Can you help me? Sometimes I think we're in such a bad way, we're such a mess that we don't even think God can fix us. Have you ever felt this way? Well, we started walking again, and there was this huge mountain we were going to have to climb. And as I started up the mountain, these words from the scriptures hit me like a ton of bricks they hit. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it was suddenly so clear to me, the weight I needed to set aside wasn't the weight in my backpack that Musab had given me to carry. It was the weight of the sin of hatred and unforgiveness that I wasn't willing to give up. Lay aside every weight. Just lay it down. Decide you're not carrying that anymore. Just give it up. And I kept talking this through in my mind. And once the weight is gone, run with patience the race set before you. Today, The race before me is getting to the top of that mountain. Do it one step at a time with patience. And when you think you can't take one more step, look to Jesus, because Jesus can sympathize with you, Gracia. He knows how you feel today. One day, Jesus carried a heavy load up a hill for me. When I saw my sin, when the Holy Spirit convicted me of my need, that's when I began to find forgiveness in my heart. It's hard to forgive when you think you're the good guy. When we all realize we're all in the same boat, we're awful sinners in great need of forgiveness ourselves, we can start to forgive others. And God started teaching me to make hard choices, choices I wouldn't naturally make in the jungle. He placed forgiveness in my heart towards those guys. One day we were hot and desperately thirsty, and I was begging God for a drink, and we came upon this little pool of water, and as I dipped my cup of water, I saw there were leech eggs in it. And the enemy began to whisper in my ear, "Hath not God said, where is your God in his loving kindness now?" When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a standard against him. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, the word, when our enemy whispers. Again, from the book of Hebrews. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There, we'll receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Jesus knows what it's like to be thirsty. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted by the devil. He was hungry and he was thirsty. On the cross, he cried out, "I thirst." And I don't think he's forgotten how that feels, folks. Jesus is our example. We can come boldly to him with our problems. He does not think the problem you bring to his attention, the help that you're seeking right now, is unimportant. So what's true of you tonight? Do you have a problem? Are you walking down a path you would rather not be walking down? Is victory in your life non-existent? Do you feel alone? Have you come to the end of yourself? We all have our jungles, don't we? At the year mark of our being held captive, we were at an all-time low. Who would have ever thought that this nightmare would continue for over a year? And Martin, for several months, had been eyeing a shortwave radio that one of the guys had, and he got up the nerve to ask Abu Sabaya, one of the leaders of the group, if he could borrow it. We were searching around looking for Voice of America or anything English speaking so we could get some news when we came across a Christian radio station out of Alaska, KNLS. We tuned in just as a pastor from Nashville was reading verses about how Christ is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He said, "If you could hear Jesus in the next room praying for you right now, you would not be afraid of any enemy." And then he went on to pray for those who were enduring hardship for the sake of the gospel. He prayed for those suffering from oppression and those living in war-torn areas. And Martin and I looked at each other with big eyes. That's us. He's talking about us. That message on the radio, it wasn't very long, was the first spiritual input from the outside that we'd had in over a year. So refreshing, the reminder that Jesus can sympathize with what we're going through and that he's praying for us. During your hardship, please know that God has not abandoned you. No matter what situation you find yourself in today, you're not alone, and he knows how you feel. And he's given us special permission to come straight to him with your burden. We kneel right there at God's throne, right there where Jesus is. As I was writing this speech, this message, several days ago, right about here, I got a text from a friend. "Read your email," she said. "We just sent you a link. It was a news story about Musab. Do you want to show that wanted poster there? Musab's real name was not Musab. That was his alias. His real name is Isnalon Hapalon. He's the one here at the bottom. A story I heard about him when we were in the jungle was the story of him being wounded years ago, but miraculously recovering from his deadly wounds by the grace of Allah, they said. Then the same thing, 9 or 10 years ago, wounded again. The clash between the Abu Sayyaf and the Philippine military revealed a bomb factory, and Musab's young son was killed in the blast, but Musab escaped with his life. He was wounded again, but survived to continue his jihad. And at one point, I thought Musab was dead. There were reports of that. And then early this year, he led an attack in a southern city in the Philippines that resulted in much death and the government declaring martial law down there. And news came out that he got wounded then as well. It's like God has, this guy has 9 lives and God just keeps extending his day of grace. And when I used to pray for Musab, I didn't even know how to pray. It depended on my mood a lot of times. Oh Lord, would you open this man's eyes to see you? Like the terrorist Saul in the Bible on his way to Damascus to kill Christians, let him have a vision of you. Bring him to yourself so that he'll be a mighty force for the gospel. And then other days, oh Lord, would you just take Musab out? How much more havoc is he going to wreak against innocent people? So many have died at his hand. Just get rid of this evil man. You know, when you don't know how to pray, that's okay. The scripture I quoted was, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, praying for us. When we don't know how to pray, he prays for us. I'm thinking that I might be confused about how to pray, but Jesus, he knows how to pray. So I told you I got this email while I was preparing my talk. It was a press release by the Philippine News that Musab was killed in an intense gun battle earlier that day, last Tuesday night. It was their final stand, the article said. They're saying that with the death of Musab and a few other ISIS leaders, including one of Asia's top terror suspects, the military chief expects the extremist band to crumble. Such sad news. I always knew what was going to happen to Musab. I was sure of it, in fact. Scripture says that Musab's knee will bow and Musab will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Did you know that? The Bible says that. It is written. And if it is written, it is true. Interestingly enough, Musab's future is also your future. Your knee will bow. Your tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord as well. Everyone who's ever been born will acknowledge Jesus to be Lord one day. His name is above every name, is what the Bible says. A sad day it was to hear that news. Musab's day of grace is not over. Can you imagine entering eternity and realizing that your soul is lost? We're so privileged to know the gospel. We're so privileged to be sure of our eternity. Aren't we privileged? Untold millions have never heard that there is a Savior. And to take that message to them is going to be costly. It will cost us careers and lifestyles. It might cost us the lives of our loved ones. It will cost us our dreams and our plans. But how are they going to hear if there's no preacher? God's going to pick some of the people in this room to do a difficult work in the world. I don't have to convince you with this job. God's going to pick some of you. And to those of you who don't go, you're going to be the ones who do the sending. Those who go are going to need you to give money so they can do their thing in a difficult place. And they're going to need you to pray. That's why we're here tonight. Is to pray. Storming the gates of heaven type praying, like you did for Martin and me. Prayer is where the power on the other end will come from. We all need to be strategically involved in reaching the world. You that stay here, make sure that your neighbor knows who Jesus is. That's your job. It's your job to share the good news of the Savior of mankind with that coworker in the next cubicle. All of us working together to get a job done. Thanks.